Even in this improving economy, many people are still clearing off debts from the past. And that is true of an entire city, Detroit. Its bankruptcy case is entering its final trial phase today. This decides a plan to wipe out billions of dollars in debt. Some big creditors would rather not. Michigan Radio's Sarah Swick reports.
This trial is a big deal, but don't expect lots of courtroom drama. For one thing, we're in federal bankruptcy court here, and there's no jury. It all revolves around a document, Detroit's 400-page plan of adjustment, laying out how and how much the city plans to pay off its thousands of creditors and restructure itself going forward. Lawyers will dissect and argue the plan point by point. In the end, Judge Stephen Rhodes will decide if it complies with Chapter 9 of the U.S. Bankruptcy Code, the chapter dealing with municipal bankruptcies. Laura Bartel teaches bankruptcy law at Wayne State University and says one of the biggest issues is whether the plan is even feasible.
That's going to be probably the crux of the confirmation hearing. Does this plan work? Is the city of Detroit going to be viable if this plan is confirmed and implemented?
In the months leading up to this trial, Detroit and its creditors have been working hard to hash out deals and mediation. In most cases, they've reached settlements that are now part of the plan. The biggest one is dubbed the Grand Bargain. It's a deal meant to protect the city's retirees and preserve its world-class art collection.
You see on the left the constructive use of technology in the passenger plane.
Inside Rivera Court at the Detroit Institute of Arts, digital tablets help museum-goers decipher what they're seeing on the walls. Diego Rivera's breathtaking murals depicting scenes from Detroit's industrial heyday. They're among the biggest treasures in a museum chock full of magnificent art, some of it purchased many years ago by a much larger, wealthier city. And some of Detroit's biggest creditors insist that the city should either mortgage or sell those pieces to pay them off. But that's precisely what the grand bargain is supposed to prevent. Private foundations, philanthropists, and the state of Michigan have pledged more than $800 million toward the grand bargain to save the art. That money would be used to pay off Detroit's biggest creditor group, city retirees. In return, retirees give up any legal challenge to the plan of adjustment, and the museum's collection is transferred to a charitable trust where creditors can't touch it. Most retirees will still have to take some pension cuts, but facing the possibility of much deeper ones, a majority approved the grand bargain. But bond insurer Cencora voted against that bargain. It stands to lose hundreds of millions of dollars if the plan of adjustment is confirmed. Wayne State University's Laura Bartel says in cases with dissenting creditors, the bankruptcy code requires the city to prove it doesn't unfairly discriminate against them. Bartel says the plan clearly does discriminate in favor of retirees, but the question is whether that's unfair. She doesn't think so.
These are people who are not financial institutions. These are City of Detroit retirees.
Other legal scholars disagree, though at trial's end, the only interpretation that matters is Judge Rhodes's. But Detroit's bankruptcy is resonating far beyond the courtroom, and bond insurers like Cencora aren't the only ones arguing that the city's plan is unfair. Detroit made global headlines again this summer. This time, it was over water. The Detroit Water Department allowed more than $100 million in delinquent bills to accumulate. It recently launched an aggressive, controversial effort to shut off water to customers who owed more than $150. Critics worldwide slammed the move as inhumane. And to some, it was more evidence that the burden of Detroit's restructuring falls mostly on its majority poor black population. Civil rights lawyer Alice Jennings argues that it's part of a larger effort to make Detroit into a more gentrified city. She worries about two Detroits emerging.
Detroit, where there is poverty, where there is sickness, where there is no ability to gain the basic requirements of life, and then a very affluent sector.
Later this month, Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan will likely take back control of the city from a state-appointed emergency manager. He's promised to steer clear of the old bad habits that created the country's largest ever municipal bankruptcy. While there's no question that Detroit will emerge a changed city, there are concerns about whether the changes will be sustainable and just who will benefit most from a new Detroit. For NPR News, I'm Sarah Swick in Detroit.